Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two, live right here on this Tuesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across that Sports Grid network. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Two more hours to go up until 11 a.m. Eastern time on this Tuesday. It's the Midsummer Classic in Major League Baseball, the 2024 MLB All-Star Game tonight in Arlington. Will the AL stand on top of the Midsummer Classic once again after having their nine-game win streak snapped a year ago out in Seattle by the National League? It is also 2 days prior to the start of the final major championship this year in the world of golf. That's over at Royal Troon in Scotland. It's the Open Championship. Keith Stewart will join us next to preview the Open this week over across the pond. Tiger Woods at the podium earlier today. Will he be maybe even seeing the weekend over there at the Open? So much to get to here in hour number two. And it's also another edition of Win Total Tuesday, a focus on the National Football League later in this second hour.
Absolutely. Do have a Major League Baseball game tonight. It is the All-Star game. We'll look forward to breaking that down. But more importantly, like golf coming into the picture here, where not as much is going on in the sports landscape, and a major championship is always fun. But I do like the chirping now coming from former players about Tiger Woods, the Teflon Don on the PGA Tour, where you can't ever say anything bad. So I appreciate people saying he should just retire and hang it up, because 98% of us do believe that, but it's still Tiger Woods, and there's the belief that he can get it together. I'm very interested to see how he performs this weekend. And I don't mean running it into the fourth round where he's a legitimate chance to win, but you do want to see competent golf. Because how many times do we see this, right? Oh, Tiger, one under through five to start. It's like, hey, maybe he's got it. And then all of a sudden you check back later, like he went bogey, bogey, double bogey, bogey, and now he's plus seven and not even going to play the weekend. Can he just be competitive for those first 2 days to give us a glimpse of the weekend? And again, making the weekend, but not then saying, all right, whoo, I made those first two rounds, Ben. Now I'm going to be plus 11 on the round three on Saturday. Like, we don't need that either. Just give me competitiveness all the way through. Yeah. That's all we're asking for.
Just a little bit of juice would be something. Tiger Woods responding to comments made over the weekend by the Scottish professional golfer Colin Montgomery, who throughout his career has been rather outspoken for looking like a large sack of potatoes. Regardless, Montgomery saying that Tiger Woods at this stage of his career should maybe consider retiring because his best professional golf is long behind him. Tiger Woods at his press conference today at Troon simply responding as a past champion at the Open Championship, I am exempt until the age of 60. Colin Montgomery, who has never won the Open Championship, is not. So I can decide when I am done. Colin Montgomery cannot. So maybe shut the F up. We'll hear from Keith Stewart as we get ready for the Open Championship this week in our next segment. But tonight in Arlington, it is the MLB All-Star Game in 2024. Globe Life Field, the host in Texas tonight. The American League, an ever-so-slight favorite at minus 118. It was officially announced yesterday that Baltimore's Corbin Burns would get the start for the AL. Of course, it's the young rookie and the superstar from the National League and Pittsburgh, Paul Skenes, making the start for the NL. The American League, a slight favorite, and that is correct. We'll look at the money line. We'll look at the run line and the over-under total tonight in Texas to give you the MLB All-Star Game trends that you need to know. Let's start with the money line. Last year, the NL victorious in the Pacific Northwest, winning 3-2 over the American League. It snapped a 9-year winning streak in the All-Star Game for the AL. So it does make sense to see the American League still booked as a favorite despite losing a season ago.
Yes, and also it's sort of an anomaly, right? Like way back in the day, the NL was really the dominant league, and then it turned over to the AL, which is kind of funny because now at this point where it's still an exhibition. Now, let's just say 70s and the 80s, the two teams, or should I say the American League and the National League, never played each other except for the World Series. There was a big-time rivalry. I mean, heck, umps were from the National League and separate umps were from the AL. So that rivalry was always there where you had the commissioners typically come down before the All-Star game and say how big a game this was to show your dominance over the other league. That's no longer the case. Everybody's friends. You're moving teams around. And quite frankly, we don't have that same sort of animosity that we did have in the past. But if we are saying to ourselves, there has to be some sort of reason for why one league is better than the other, I don't think so. Because you see the minus 118 price. It's essentially what you would say on like the coin flip for the Super Bowl. Well, we have to juice it one way. And if most people are going to bet heads, we'll just juice the heads. The same way that people are looking at the American League with their recent round of dominance and going, oh, look, cheap price here. They always win. Yeah, why not bet them? There's no real theory to why these guys are winning. Like, ooh, I have inside knowledge that the five pitchers on the National League don't win a pitch and the American League pitchers really want to. So I do think it's kind of interesting that the American League is on this great run because there's no rhyme or reason for it, Ben.
Yeah, back in the day, right, the AL was the only league with the designated hitter. The NL had their pitchers hit. So depending on where the All-Star game was played in a National League stadium or an American League ballpark, you would either see pitchers or DHs. That's not the case anymore. Both leagues, of course, now using the designated hitter. Maybe it's a look at the roster overall, the starting lineup tonight in Arlington, and the rest of the All-Star selections. Those are their starting pitchers. Those are the relievers as well in the bullpen. Because when you look at the AL's lineup, it's really good, of course. Stephen Kwan, the best batting average in all of the bigs, better than 360 for the Cleveland Guardians. Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman, multiple starters out of the O's, multiple starters for the Yankees as well. Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. Jordan Alvarez, Jose Ramirez, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and Marcus Semien round out that starting offensive lineup with, of course, Corbin Burns getting the start with his catcher, Adley Rutschman, as the battery tonight. Now we look at the National League. Ketel Marte in the leadoff spot. Shohei Ohtani, Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, multiple starters for the Philadelphia Phillies. Not just two, three when you add in Alec Boehm. The home run derby champ, Teoscar Hernandez, gets the start tonight in center field. Multiple starters for the Dodgers as well. They probably have three if Mookie Betts was available and not on the IL. Contreras and Christian Yelich there along with Jurickson Profar. I don't know if either starting lineup has the edge over the other. Do you give any the nod, DRS?
Not really, but I got to say, like, I like the way the roster appeals in that first 4 to 5 guys for the American League, though, to be honest. Like, Kwan is a legitimate guy at the top of that order.
Yeah.
That's, you know, 350, 360. Who knows what he's going to bat this year? So he can get on base. Henderson can get on base and has that power. Then you know Soto is going to be taking pitches in the Major League Baseball All-Star game, just looking to get on base. Then the power of Aaron Judge. So I do like the way it sets up, but you're right. You're not going to look at both of these lines. Yeah, I don't know. Ohtani, Turner, Harper, that's not really that good in that top. Stop the madness, man. Everybody's a superstar and well-deserving of being there. So I just look at that first four for the American League and say, I actually like the way that meshes through. So I guess if you want to go with a better lineup for the AL, I guess so. But both teams certainly stacked, no doubt.
We're probably going to see Paul Skenes, the National League starter, pitch into the second frame would be my guess, but if somebody gets on base in the opening inning, to think that we could see Paul Skenes against Stephen Kwan, Gunnar Henderson, and then namely Juan Soto and Aaron Judge, that's theater from the very beginning. Now let's go back to the odds for the game as well. We'll talk about this later on. You see the American League, a slight favorite in the money line, the run line listed there as well. The National League is actually laying the run and a half, and it's pretty hefty juice if you want to bet the NL minus one and a hook at minus 168. But it makes sense from the numbers perspective. Three of the last four All-Star games decided by just a single run, including each of the past two seasons. Last year, out in the Pacific Northwest, 3-2, the victory for the NL. There is going to be profit boost. There was already one on the FanDuel Sportsbook, a 30% profit boost. So if you wanted to take the American League, the money line favored at +1.5, but the juice at -205 to bet that number. It's a little bit steep, I understand, but it's not a bad area to look in what has recently been tightly contested Midsummer Classics.
Yeah, and also, you're taking a look at that total at 7.5 going, what? Did you see those two rosters you guys just named off? We have to understand, the best pitchers in baseball and absolute flamethrowers, knowing they only have a batter or two to pitch to late in those games. Yeah, there's going to be a tough, tough string there of hitters here. They're like, what? I don't like this.
7 of the last 10 All-Star games have stayed 7 runs or less. We preview the Open Championship next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The final major championship this year in men's golf. The oldest major championship of them all. The 152nd playing of the Open Championship this week over in Scotland at Royal Troon. Keith Stewart is here on this Tuesday on the early line to take that early look and a preview of everything we will see this week at the Open. Keith, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks for being here on TEL.
Ben, Donnie, it's a pleasure to be with you guys this morning. They're up and running 5 hours ahead of us across the pond over there. Lots of storylines to go over. Let's roll.
Practice rounds underway, press conferences underway on this Tuesday morning. It will be a very early start for those covering the Open this week and for all of us that will place a wager on what we will see in the fourth and final major championship of this season. Let's start with the weather and the golf course. Royal Troon on the Open Rotunda has been a frequent host of the Open Championship. It's links-style golf. It's on the ocean there in Scotland. Of course, weather will always play a factor. Keith, what are we expecting in terms of those conditions this week at the Open Championship?
Ben, for this 10th return to Royal Troon and the Open Championship this summer, we're sitting on the West Coast, so we are open there to the Firth of Clyde or just the sea. And the links themselves, especially the first 6 to 9 holes, run right along the shoreline. And the weather already so far this week has been mild temperature-wise, anywhere from the high 50s to the low 60s. And there's been a little bit of rain. It has been a very mild Scottish summer or spring so far with a ton of wet weather. So the grass is extremely healthy over there. You better hit those fairways. But more importantly, we got to talk about the wind. There isn't going to be a ton of wind this week so far in the forecast. Now, we know that all of that can change in a heartbeat over there. But what's most interesting is that the predominant wind usually runs from out of the northeast or out of the northwest down to the southeast, which means the opening nine kind of plays downwind, and then you play back into the wind coming home for the final nine. What's interesting is that they're predicting wind coming out of the southwest, right off of the water, which means that almost all of these holes are going to play with a crosswind. It's going to be kind of wild. It's not what the guys would have expected if they played there in 2016, and it's definitely not, you know, something that they're used to. You know, there's just not a lot of landmarks to aim at when they go to hit. And with having all of these crosswinds and coming up with a game plan and then knowing that they need to adapt and adjust, it's definitely going to favor the top players and the elite guys at the top of the board.
Keith, let's take a look at the top of the board here on the Open Championship here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Scottie Scheffler, +450 price. Next closest is Rory McIlroy at an 8-1 price. They're the only players currently right now with a 10-1 price or better. Schauffele, Morikawa, Oberg, and also DeChambeau. Looking at the top of that leaderboard, are we seeing things correctly? Should Scottie still be that heavy favorite here at the Open?
Scottie should still be the heavy favorite based upon the resume that he's put together so far this year. And I'm a little afraid because of it. Pinehurst, that T41 result might be a little bit motivating, more so than the rest of the guys want. We had a great week last week in Scotland, not having Scottie around and having those short odds. I know that he'll be in contention come Sunday, but you have to look at in 3 Open Championships, he has an 8th, a 21st, and a 23rd, right? So it hasn't been his best major championship so far in his career. And when you start to the wind and the putting and the slower greens over there, those types of challenges. One thing, Scotty being the, you know, super favorite in this field, you know, I might lean a little bit more towards a guy that grew up in Northern Ireland.
Top 10, minus 165 for Scotty Scheffler over at the Open Championship. It is in minus money at minus 165. You mentioned you might lean to another favorite that grew up in Northern Ireland. Is that Rory McIlroy? Second best price on the board at plus 750. Of course, the end of the U.S. Open, the disaster at Pinehurst that allowed Bryson DeChambeau to win the 2024 United States Open. We saw Rory return to professional and competitive golf last week at the Scottish Open, finished in the top 10. The last time he won a major championship was way back in 2014. He won two, the PGA Championship in the Open Championship as the champion golfer of the year. There is always drama and narrative following around Rory McIlroy, Keith, at a major championship because it's been that decade-long drought. Might it be snapped this week at Royal Troon?
I think it's his time, Ben. That's my early lean on the early line, that's for sure. I think that Rory, and I am not usually a Rory fan and or backer, but after the reset and what we saw last week in Scotland, his T4 finish and the ball striking and everything else, and what seems like the revitalization or the rehab to his brain seems to have finally taken place. Forget the piff, forget the divorce rumors, forget all of that stuff. A month off, Rory's back at home, across the pond where he likes to be, where he learned to play the game. I think he's completely revitalized, and I really do think that that plus 800 number is super live this week for him. I mean, he has been so consistent in major championships. Rory's had 9 top 10s in his last 13 major starts. Since he won twice before the PGA, look at what he's done. 12th, 4th, 15th, 2nd at Pinehurst, 4th there at the Scottish Open. I mean, he's definitely trending from a ball striking perspective. And guess what? You know, if there's one championship and a fan base that is going to completely support him and push him through there at Royal Troon for this test this week, I think that Rory's the man to beat. There's not a doubt in my mind.
Let's take a look at another guy, Keith, who we always like to take a look at still playing in major championships. That's Tiger Woods. If we take a look at yesterday's odds, 300-1. Overnight, an improvement for Tiger Woods at 250-1. Now, the expectations to win it are certainly different than the expectations to play quality golf, Keith. What are we seeing from Tiger Woods, or what should I say is, what do we expect out of Tiger Woods this week?
Well, there's one trend that doesn't look good, and that's his performance in majors so far this year. He only made the cut at the Masters, finished T60, missed cut at the PGA, missed cut at the U.S. Open. But one trend that I do like is that he continues to look more and more healthy. The practice rounds look really solid, and the weather, although it's damp and a little bit cool, it looks like his body is prepared and ready for this challenge. So I actually like Tiger to challenge the cut line, but that's probably about it, Donnie, for this year.
If Tiger Woods can see the weekend, that is success and a victory in itself, at least to have a little bit of enthusiasm into a weekend at the Open Championship at Royal Troon. Keith Stewart, we appreciate the time. As always, thanks for being here on this Tuesday. Some new NBA award markets available. We'll break it down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Some more NBA award markets available to bet yesterday on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Some new markets coming live. Let's talk about them. The NBA award favorites for 2024-25. The MVP, still the guy who's won it 3 times in the last 4 years, Nikola Jokic at plus 360. But some movement behind him that is really more notable. Luka Doncic only back by 10 cents at plus 370. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander plus 550. Giannis Antetokounmpo and Joel Embiid round out the top 5 at 6-1. I know there is a ton of guys on the grid that continue to look at Victor Wembanyama's price, not to win NBA Defensive Player of the Year. That now available. He's an odds-on favorite at minus 160, but a 29-1 number on Vic to win the NBA MVP hardware.
I don't think he can do that because I don't like looking at the Spurs. Can they have a great record here moving forward, right? If you're going to win the MVP at that price point of 29-1, I don't know if that's going to happen. Great talented player. I just don't think so. But Nikola Jokic plus 360 price to win the MVP. Come on now. Like, we know at every turn they are going to try to not give him this award. So the fact that he's the favorite, yeah, I get a little bit terrible. Of a chuckle of, because if Luka Doncic and the Mavericks have a good season and Doncic is healthy and plays the 65-plus games, he's going to get the benefit of the doubt. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, right on the cusp of an MVP last year. If OKC takes that next leap and dominates once again during the regular season, he is going to be elevated up. And also, Anthony Edwards at that 12-1 price is intriguing. And then you sit down at Brunson at 16-1. The Knicks are going to have a very, very good regular season team, to say the least. We'll see what they do in the you know, playoffs itself. But as we know, it's a regular season award. If Brunson plays extremely well next year, he should be in that running as well. I'm just thinking it's interesting that, yes, we think Jokic is the best player in the world, but we know they don't want to give him that award again. Can't Therefore, bet. How do you bet him as the favorite here, Ben?
You don't, you shouldn't, and you can't, frankly, if I were to say. Nikola Jokic is probably going to put up the statistical numbers that we have seen the Joker put up. There's an argument that the year Joel Embiid won the MVP award two seasons ago in the NBA, Jokic's numbers were better than in any of his NBA winning seasons of that MVP hardware. So it's not that his numbers are going to fall off or you predict that he or the Denver Nuggets struggles. It's the narrative behind it. Victor Wembanyama, minus 160 to win the DPOY, Defensive Player of the Year Award. Last year, Triple J, Jaren Jackson, just for comparison's sake of the Memphis Grizzlies, was the preseason favorite to win the Defensive Player of the Year at a plus 500 number. Vic already at minus 160.
That's pretty crazy how, again, we expect him to dominate because he's just going to be in the way. He's too tall and too lanky. He's going to be in the way of every single shot attempt from his opponents once again and getting that second year. We always say, like, where do you typically improve in a football season? Games won the game number two. Imagine him playing his rookie going, okay, I got the lay of the land. Now I'm ready. My offseason approach is going to be slightly different than what it was in the past. Wembanyama should have a very, very good season, which includes blocking a ton of shots and being a problem in the past. Yeah. For offensive teams.
Yeah. He's going to be fantastic. We are going to see that on display over in his native France at the Paris Olympics as well. Zach Edey, still the favorite to win Rookie of the Year. They're at 6-1 price, a dollar in front of Reed Shepard. Now let's get to some other ones. Most improved player. Jonathan Kuminga, a 10-1 number for the Golden State Warriors, maybe in the absence of Klay and a new era in the Bay. Kuminga expected to do more. Malik Monk, the favorite to win the Sixth Man of the Year award at plus 430. Joe Mazzulla of the Boston Celtics, the favorite to win the NBA Coach of the Year that last year, I believe, went to Mark Daigneault of the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, by the way, let me put my commissioner hat on again for this one here. Hey, NBA.
Go ahead,
yeah, the
please.
MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, and Rookie of the Year. What are we doing with all these awards? Most Improved Player. And how about this argument at the FanDuel Sportsbook? 15-1, Scotty Barnes. He signed a $200-plus million extension. We're talking about him trying to work on his game and improve like he can't dribble and shoot at the same time. I mean, come, what are we doing here? The Most Improved Player. Stop it. Get out of my face.
We've got the NBA Cup odds out right now. The Celtics, the favorite, the Thunder, the second best price. As we know, the NBA Cup, not exactly an indication of those NBA Finals or conference championship odds. Oh. But speaking of the NBA Finals, you ready for this? This just seems cruel. Jason Tatum opens as the favorite to win the NBA Finals MVP award at plus 750, a dollar in front of his teammate and last year's winner, Jaylen Brown.
And rightfully so. By the way, some of my best times here on the early line with you, Ben, were you explaining through multiple times and calculators on how the NBA Cup works. Let's get ready to do it again this year. What a great tournament, NBA, where absolutely nobody has any understanding whatsoever unless they have a thesis on a day-to-day basis. Knock that out, too.
I think our best bet ever was that LeBron was going to win the NBA Cup because MJ never could. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to a Tuesday on the early line. Welcome to our second edition of 8 of Win Total Tuesday. live right here on the Sports Grid Network to get you ready for the 2024 National Football League campaign. We've officially got 9 teams around the NFL sending their rookies to training camp as of today, including one in the AFC North. That's the Baltimore Ravens. The flock open up the year on the road in Kansas City, the NFL regular season debut, in a rematch of the AFC Championship game from a season ago. DRS last year, maybe even the year prior, the AFC North, considered by many the most competitive and difficult division in all of the National Football League. I would say entering 2024, it is the exact same. The Ravens and the Bengals, both a win total of 10.5 in the floor, not all that far away. The Cleveland Browns, 8.5. The over has plenty of juice. And until the Pittsburgh Steelers, in 17 years, now make it number 18 under Mike Tomlin, win less than 8 games, which hasn't happened yet, I'm not going to bet that to be the case. 8.5, the win total for the Steelers. Do you agree with the sentiment that the AFC North is the most competitive and difficult division in the NFL?
Yeah, absolutely. Black and blue division this year. They are going to beat each other up, which, again, can hurt the outcome of these teams' season. As you see, 10.5 says the top of the heap there in the division. Some 8.5 there. These teams are much better than actually what those records might be at the end of the season. Why? They have to continuously play each other throughout the season. I do agree with the 10.5 here for the Baltimore Ravens. We'll see what we get out of the Cincinnati Bengals. But then again, the wild cards in that division, the Browns and the Steelers, no doubt about it, formidable opponents that if you get good quarterback play on both sides from guys that are highly paid and, quite frankly, should be making quality decisions on the field. That's the Sean, and also lining up there in Pittsburgh now, who we thought would be Russell Wilson and still think it's going to be the opening day starter. But let's focus there on the Baltimore Ravens. Here's what you love about the Ravens. They are sensational in the regular season. Everything set up. Stars aligned last year for them, Ben. Hammering the San Francisco 49ers on Christmas and then getting the number one overall seed in the AFC, only to blow that. So for my money, the Baltimore Ravens, a must bet on regular season team that once they get to the playoffs, you take it day by day at that point. The one thing I love to say, Lamar Jackson dropped 15 pounds in the offseason. He is going to be a lightning bug out there to start the season. Absolutely dominant running the football with thunder and lightning already in their backfield with Keaton Mitchell. We'll see how he comes back from that knee injury. And then also getting King Henry. Yeah. Formidable wide receivers, a great tight end and offensive line. The Ravens will be a very, very good regular season team. And it's fair to say that. You don't say that about the Kansas City Chiefs. Hey, Ben, they'll be a great regular season. No, they're going to be a great team because we expect championships here. Until Lamar Jackson shakes it off in the playoffs, I can only operate under the assumption that the Ravens will be very good in the regular season.
Just a 2-4 record for Lamar in the postseason. Of course, never an appearance in a Super Bowl. At home as a favorite against Kansas City in the Charm City with an AFC championship on the line. Not the most successful game we have ever seen out of the flock. And for some reason, Todd Monken didn't want to run the football for the Ravens a year ago. You can see how razor thin, though, the edges are between the two top teams in what we expect to be a tightly contested divisional race for that title in the AFC North. The Ravens and the Bengals, plus 140, the price for Baltimore to win the division. The Bengals, plus 165. Baltimore, second best price to win the AFC title at 5-1, only behind KC. Cincinnati, only behind both Baltimore and Kansas City at a 7-1 price. 10.5 the win total for the flock. The overjuiced at minus 138. You ready for this, DRS? The Bengals win total, also 10 and a hook. The over has the juice at minus 134. 4 cents of distinction and the expected outcome for both the Ravens and the Bengals as 11-win football teams. Joe Burrow, 4 years as a National Football League quarterback. Rookie year and last year in 2023, injury-shortened season. Only 10 games in both 2021 and 2022, years 2 and 3 for Burrow in the NFL. He played 16 games. In each of those 2 years, Cincinnati victorious in the AFC North. Cincinnati at least played in the AFC Championship game. And in 2021, of course, the Bengals coming up oh so short in a Super Bowl appearance in Los Angeles against the Rams. When Joe Burrow is fully healthy, the Bengals win the AFC North. That's what the trends say. That's what I will be betting this year for Cincinnati.
And if you are looking at the two top teams, and again, all four teams, quality opponents entering into the season.
Sure.
But if I give the Ravens the edge over the Bengals, it just might be for this reason. Coming into the season, Ben, for me, way less question marks here on the Baltimore Ravens. I know what I'm getting out of my quarterback. I got the dominant ground game with the dominant back who can be that guy who's singular, carry the football, but also that lightning strike out of the backfield. So I love the way it sets up from a perspective of quarterback and my top two running backs. You take a look at the wide receivers, young guys getting better on a year-to-year basis and one of the best tight ends in football. I understand what I'm getting on the defense, an athletic front seven and a solid secondary and a pedigree to be a great regular season team. Now, we're not really knocking the Cincinnati Bengals per se, but when I say question marks come up, T. Higgins, again, is he going to shut it down midway through the season because maybe the Bengals aren't going where they're in the same direction? He knows he's not going to get tagged next year. A big paycheck is underway. And Ja'Marr Chase, does he even show up to training camp? I don't even know what's going to happen with him if he feels he's not going to get paid. And then there's Joe Burrow, another offseason of not being able to work out, and the question marks pop up. Hey, Joe Burrow's played 12 years. He only missed 2 years or had 2 years of injuries here. He should be fine. Seems like every single year, whether it's in the season or even heading into the season, the guy's having a surgery, getting injured in some way, shape, or form. So when I look at the two top teams in the AFC North, it's clear that it's going to be the Bengals, theoretically, and also the Baltimore Ravens. I just look at the Ravens right now, a lot less question marks for the regular season, and that's the way I lean.
Yeah, I would agree with that sentiment, but I do believe in Cincinnati. I do not believe T. Higgins is going to bail at any point. He will play under the franchise tag, and he will be a productive part of this Bengals offense. Some questions to answer offensively, as Brian Callahan, the former OC under Zach Taylor, now the new head coach of the Tennessee Titans. But Lou Anarumo remains on the other side of the football as the DC in Cincy. When/if will Ja'Marr Chase be paid this offseason to probably put up contract numbers that rival that of Justin Jefferson? That also remains to be seen. So the questions are there, at least right now. I believe the Bengals will answer both of those. And although Joe Burrow did not complete a full season last year, because of where the injury happened, he should have a full offseason. Last year, of course, the collective NFL world held its breath in late July, first few days for the Bengals in training camp, when Joe Burrow came up limp and held his right calf, a calf injury that thankfully was not an Achilles tear that many thought it was, but it plagued him and Cincy for the first few weeks of the NFL season. You hope he has a fully healthy offseason to get ready. I believe in the Bengals at that 7-1 price. I believe in the Bengals at +165. DRS, will have the Cleveland Browns conversation on the other side of the break. What to expect for the Browns this year? There is always optimism in Cleveland. Is Deshaun Watson able to answer that call? Your early thoughts, Donnie, on what Cleveland will do in 2024?
I'm under the expectation that we should be through that. Hey, Deshaun Watson's trying to reacclimate back to the NFL at this point. I'm expecting good things from him, but I like the surrounding talent. That's a solid offensive line, a very good tight end, wide receivers that can produce, and also a wide receiver in Jerry Jeudy that we had some really high hopes for, Ben, coming into his NFL career that didn't work out all that well in Denver. Sometimes just a change of scenery can help. And also, what are we getting out of Nick Chubb? If you tell me right now Nick Chubb's going to come back here, and I see him lifting thousands of pounds, it feels like, in squats.
Yeah.
If he's back to his dominant self, boy, that is a huge boon for Cleveland. But if you tell me Nick Chubb's not going to be ready to go running with a gait and probably can't really be all that effective, that's going to be a downgrade. A healthy Chubb is the best running back in the NFL. Let's see what we get out of him this year.
I still question the quarterback position. And frankly, I don't know how you could not when it comes to Deshaun Watson, because that is the most important piece for this Browns organization. We'll debate up next. You're on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Cleveland Browns Giants have a win total of 8.5, and the over has the heavy juice as they get ready for the 2024 NFL campaign. Can Cleveland go over that number? You're going to have to. 9 or 10 wins at bare minimum, it would appear right now in the offseason, to contend for a playoff spot in the highly competitive division. That is the AFC North, or any of the 7 spots, of course, in the AFC as a whole. Donnie, if you were to look at 8.5 right here, right now, would you bet the over or the under for Cleveland entering 2024?
I probably would bet the over, because I think it's going to be an entertaining AFC North here. But there's just the talent on the team. Sometimes you take a look at, oh, they just need a new coach, you know, somebody to step in there. Their coach is very good. Coach of the year, actually. Was he the coach of the year? I think Stefanski won coach of the year when it was all said and done last year. So you do have competency at the head coaching position, but also talent at every level. Great linebacking core, great defensive line, solid secondary, dominant man-moving offensive line here. A running back in Nick Chubb, if he comes back and gives you 75% of what Nick Chubb gave you in the past, and a wide receiving core that has some electric talent, young talent, and also sage veterans like Amari Cooper. There's too much talent on this football team to go under 8.5 for me at this point, Ben.
11-6 was the record a year ago, as we all know, and that was Joe Flacco really for Cleveland most of the way. 3 of the 4 teams out of the AFC North made the postseason. Not the Bengals in this division, but even since he finished with a winning record without Joe Burrow for a good majority of last season. My question, of course, is not Joe Flacco. He's no longer there. He's in Indianapolis. Not the talent around or that Kevin Stefanski is coordinating. It's Deshaun Watson. What can we expect out of a guy that has started and completed 11 NFL games in the last 4 calendar years? Of course, it has been an interesting time for Deshaun Watson, suspended for the first 11 games of 2022 for multiple violations of the NFL's personal conduct policy. In 2021, Deshaun Watson missed the entirety of the year because he was done in Houston and wanted to play his NFL football elsewhere. He has played very little in the last 4 years. He has played only 11 NFL full games. And again, when you look at the numbers, it leaves a lot to be desired. I think to call Deshaun Watson mediocre in those 11 games is an insult to mediocre. In the 11 completed games he has played, only twice has he thrown for more than 250 yards. Is he the signal caller to get Cleveland where they want to go? Jameis Winston, now the backup in the land. But again, you're not banking on your backup, despite the experience of Jameis, to lead you to 10, 11 wins like Joe Flacco did a season ago, despite all of the talent around this Browns organization. I'm not going to bet the under of 8.5 wins. Do I think the Browns are a playoff team next year? Not in this competitive AFC.
Yeah, we'll take a look at, let's just say, 30 teams or so in the NFL, as quarterbacks that are starters, like on a day-to-day basis, let's just say. If you're looking for average quarterback play, you want to be in that top 15 range, right? And if you do get that out of Deshaun Watson, you're going to win more than 8.5 games. But as Ben pointed out, he's correct. Like, Deshaun Watson that we saw in Houston was by far and away maybe the best quarterback trajectory in the league, that as of right now, he probably would be up there with Patrick Mahomes. Now, granted, off-the-field stuff sort of threw things off, injured on the field as well. New setting in Cleveland didn't work out right away, but take a look at 2022. And again, he hasn't played a lot of football. Out of rated quarterbacks, 39 of them, he was 36. So you say, okay, what did he do in 2023? Oh, he improved up to 27th. That's not going to get you 9 wins in the NFL with quarterback play at 27th. So I'm looking for a quantum leap, not necessarily into the top 10 or top 5, but just put me in the top 20. If you say Deshaun Watson is a top 20 quarterback next year with the talent around him, that's a 9-win football team at least here. But you are correct to have those issues. Like, are we just going to say, like, hey, it's 2018 all over again, as if 2018 was just like 2 years ago? That's a long time ago now when we saw that dominance out of Deshaun Watson, and we'll see if we get it now.
14 TDs to only 9 interceptions. Those off-the-field issues brought on by Deshaun Watson himself. Of course, the 24 civil cases. All of that has been resolved to this point, and he served his punishment, at least as the NFL handed down its discipline, missing the first 11 games, suspended for those multiple violations of the NFL's personal conduct policy. My main concern is the lack of football for Deshaun Watson, but Donnie is also correct. If he is average, if he is middle of the pack, not even the NFL frontrunner or contender, NFL MVP frontrunner or contender that he was in 2019 and 2020, in Houston with all the talent around. Maybe he is capable enough to lead the Browns to a playoff spot. The Browns not favored to make the postseason, plus 138 to make, minus 170 to miss out. It almost seemed like Joe Flacco kind of unleashed the aerial attack under Kevin Stefanski last year, but that aerial attack is going to be very good. Amari Cooper, maybe one of the most underrated wideouts in the National Football League, came on super strong in that connection with Flacco a year ago. You mentioned the addition of Jerry Jeudy. If Nick Chubb is back, and we expect him to be, it's a potent offense when you add in David Njoku, who had a promising year at the tight end spot in 2023 as well. There's a lot to like. And then you go to the defensive side of the football, led by Myles Garrett. Again, the Browns have the makings to be a playoff team in the AFC, maybe even contend for a divisional crown in the very tightly contested AFC North. We just have to see what the quarterback can provide, and that is Deshaun Watson.
Exactly, and that's always the question mark that's there. I'm going to give Deshaun Watson the benefit of the doubt where, again, we're not talking about him being Patrick Mahomes. Just be competent. Just make the plays that are in front of you. And I love Kevin Stefanski from an offensive perspective. He'll put those guys in the right direction because, as you pointed out with Joe Flacco, yeah, he found something with Amari Cooper. We always thought David Njoku was a very talented, you know, tight end. Like, oh, maybe missing in the past couple of years, really lit that fire with Joe Flacco. He's saying, hey, you know, what a novel concept. Let's get Njoku in open space and throw the ball up to him so he can make plays, and it worked out in spades. Keep that same type of mentality heading into this season, and I think we have something. But once again, if we're just looking, it used to be with Cleveland, boy, you just hand the ball off to Nick Chubb, you can't lose. That guy is absolutely dominant. Maybe you get that back this year. We'll see if it plays out that way. I'm a little bit more optimistic on the Browns than Ben is here, but when we say optimism, I don't think they win that division. I just think they can get somewhere around that 9-10 win range, which will cash in those tickets.
And playing in that division is difficult then for your win total overall. A 9-8 football team, maybe in wild card contention, but by no means just a winning record, guarantees a playoff spot in the AFC. A similar conversation for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Up next on TEF.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Win Total Tuesday continues live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid, looking at what we expect to be once again the most competitive division in all of the NFL. That is the AFC North. One of the reasons that you can call a division the most competitive is because every team is expected to be right around that 500 mark. Last year in the AFC North, even with a litany of quarterback injuries, everybody finished with a winning record, including the Cincinnati Bengals at 9-8, without Joe Burrow and Jake Browning kind of leading the way in Cincy. And of course, when you speak about winning records, or at least never a losing record, the staple of consistency within the AFC North, that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. 17 years under Mike Tomlin, never a losing record, never less than 8 wins. 8 wins this year would be a losing record, but that's what the odds makers expect Pittsburgh to hover around. 8.5 the win total for the Steelers. The under has the hefty juice around minus 172. What is your expectation, DRS, in the Steel City with the new additions in the quarterback room of Russell Wilson and Justin Fields?
It should help them. It really should. And when I say help them, it doesn't mean they're going to win a National Football League championship. I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl or get to the Super Bowl or make a deep run in the playoffs. But they will be competitive on a week-to-week basis. So many things that we talked about the other teams just in this division alone, there's not very many weaknesses where you say, like, oh, that defense really can't compete. They're going to. One of the best pass rushers, if not the best two pass rushers as a combination in the NFL with Watt and Highsmith. A solid secondary. You add Patrick Queen there over from your division rival. You take a look at that offensive line, which does have some question marks, but still a decent wide receiving core that they have. A running game that has Najee Harris and a quarterback that's been there, done that. Say what you want about Russell Wilson. Were we happy the way it turned out in Denver? No, but it was still, look at his numbers, a competent quarterback play. And so many times that we're asking, just like there with the Browns, Ben, it's like saying to ourselves, can we get competent quarterback play? We're not asking for greatness here. If Russell Wilson can almost have a similar type performance that he did last year in Denver numbers-wise, they're going to be in every football game, which means they'll be right around at least that 500 marker. Big things for the Pittsburgh Steelers next year, not necessarily because, quite frankly, it's just in the division they play. Move them out of this division, let's just say, to the NFC South. Hey, man, Pittsburgh can make a run, win that division, and see if they can go deep in the playoffs. But you're a product of your environment, and that environment is really tough in the AFC North. But I think good things are on the horizon for the Steelers. Again, not in the way of deep playoff runs, but competent football like you get under Mike Tomlin on a week-to-week basis. There's no reason to believe. If you put it this way, who's fading the Pittsburgh Steelers saying they can't get the 500 knowing that's exactly what they do on a year-to-year basis and technically have a better football team this year than they did last year?
Last year, the year prior, maybe even the final few years of Ben Roethlisberger's career there in Pittsburgh. Russell Wilson was not the issue last year in Denver. Yes, the past 2 years in the Mile High City will go down as a Denver debacle. There is no doubt about it. But the production level out of Russ wasn't all that bad, at least from a touchdown to INT perspective. Not many prolific passing yardage games, but still, not exactly all on Russ. Last year in Denver, the defense was good. This year in Pittsburgh, the last few years in the Steel City, the defense has been great. They add Patrick Queen. I think the Steelers are going to be pretty good on that side of the football once again. And it's not just the addition and the upgrade in the quarterback room, whether it's Russ or eventually Justin Fields. It's the guy calling plays. You can poke fun at Arthur Smith for what he did as a head coach 3 years in Atlanta, 7-10 each and every season. But he's a brilliant offensive mind. Sure, didn't give the ball to Bijan Robinson enough last year in the ATL. Mm-hmm. But strictly as the OC, I expect much better production on that side of the football for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, if I think Pittsburgh wins 8 games, that's what the odds makers are thinking as well. If I think Pittsburgh goes 9-8, does that mean that I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are making the playoffs for sure? Not necessarily, given how competitive, we remind you, the AFC is anticipated to be once again in 2024. Am I calling for the Steelers to be a true conference contender in the AFC? No, but that's what makes the AFC North so compelling. When the team that has the longest odds to win your division has a win total of 8.5, it's going to be hard sledding all season long.
Certainly about that. And by the way, when you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, last year at the quarterback position, Mason Rudolph, pretty much a statue back there. Kenny Pickett, athletic to say the least, could move around a little bit. But now you have Russell Wilson who can get out of the way. And also, if it turns out to be Justin Fields, if you question that offensive line, at least you got guys that can move around a bit in that backfield. I like what the Pittsburgh Steelers are presenting here for a quality football season that the fans can be proud of, meaning each and every week they'll be in it. Just at the end of the rainbow, it's not going to be that pot of gold there making deep runs into the AFC playoffs for me.
Yeah, very fair, and I would agree with that as of this moment. Hour number three comes your way on the other side of the break here on Sports.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.